Today's special guest proves that entrepreneurship doesn't necessarily have to be about startups.
I'm not also about funding enough, making money. I'm about creating experiences and making people happy, but I need enough cash coming in to match cash going out.
Entrepreneurship can be about reinvention.
I have a lot of bright ideas, but I ask everyone to edit me before we...
That's so, every entrepreneur.
Money doesn't go on trees, I found.
And it's fair to say that I think when Fiona and her husband took over the castle, it needed a little bit of work.
There's 250 to 300 rooms, so something's always going wrong. The fifth Earl of Carnarvon was the Egypt Earl.
Okay.
The sixth Earl was quite a naughty Earl. The seventh Earl was my father-in-law. Okay. And the eighth Earl is my current husband.
Perfect. Perfect. Perfect example of somebody who has driven that business into what it is today. When it actually came out, was it much better than you thought it was going to be?
No, it was just really odd.
How many days off do you take a year?
No idea.
Some of you, of course, might know it as Downton Abbey.
With Downton Abbey, we were the first location they looked at. Then they went round and saw 400 other locations.
Did they?
But, you know, you... I mean, it would be lovely to win it, but I wasn't that desperate because I didn't know anybody would watch it. Downton don't actually pay us very much money, but it was a decision to, you know, to try this out as part of the castle's role, if you like.
So today's special guest is Lady Fiona Carnarvon of Highclere Castle. How could anybody need a house with 300 rooms?
Well, there were 60 indoor staff. No hoovers, no washing machines, 14 footmen, no telephones, ballroom boy, 3 butlers.
Is it always full when you open?
But I'd be failing my marketing if I didn't sell out.
Well, that's incredible. So welcome, Fiona, to Entrepreneurs Worldwide.
Thank you very much for including me and asking me. It's very kind of you.
I'm so grateful that you've come because it's such an intriguing story. It's a £100 million castle.
What does that mean?
£100 million castle, it means that you've turned this into a very successful business from something that you've worked very hard on. And a lot of people, I think, will immediately assume it's all down to Downton Abbey. And I bet you get asked that all the time. But you have done so much more than that with it. And if you have used whatever Downton Abbey has bought the castle, you've written books, you've really monetized that. And that's really what we want to ask you today is how you've managed to do that in such an effective way.
Well, I think it's a double act, first of all. It's between Geordie and myself. So we work as a partnership. And when the castle was opened by my parents-in-law in 1988... And the queues were longer than Downton Abbey because they just found some of the treasures from the 5th Earl of Carnarvon's Egyptian exhibition. So it was a huge excitement and wonderful. They then developed more of a corporate business. But the house was a museum. They never lived there. So they repaired some of it, did some things. And, you know, they were amazing. And my husband was working with his father. After his father died in 2001, unexpectedly and too soon... It was our turn.
Your husband's father, was he the Lord Carnarvon who financed Tutankhamun, the Carter dig?
We've got to number 8. So the 5th Earl of Carnarvon was the Egypt Earl.
Okay.
The 6th Earl was quite a naughty Earl. The 7th Earl was my father-in-law. Okay. And the 8th Earl is my current husband.
Perfect. Perfect. It was quite successful already then, before Downton Abbey.
It was successful, but that was in 2001. And having said that, you know, I think many of the houses in England had 100 years of investment deficit. World War I and World War II had fundamentally changed Britain. During World War II, many of our resources were nationalised. And after World War II, you obviously had the NHS, and you had a very different world with different expectations. 1,000 houses were knocked down in the 10 years post-World War II. And amazingly, Highclere is still there, partly because Geordie's grandfather simply lived so long. So that allowed it, by the time he died, to begin to find another role. And it's just, again, it's There's been a home there since 749 AD. Those are my earliest written records. And it's just finding different ways of innovating and yet retaining the heritage, because that's what shouldn't change.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the listeners would probably think that a castle is self-serving or self-sufficient in the reality that it's a building. But there's got repairs, you've got cleaners, you've got housekeepers, you're going to have ground staff, you're going to have people who need salaries. There's a need for a constant income. Would you say I'm correct in saying that?
Yes, there's no magic, there's no trust, there's no magic money source. Money doesn't go on trees, I found. So, and my first commitment every month is to make sure we have enough money to pay people's salaries. Yeah. They have their mortgages, their bills to pay. And it's a really tough world. And I couldn't ask people to continue to work or new people to join to work without feeling that I could look after them. Mm. But it's their hard work which puts the team together and puts the events together. So that comes first. And then after that, there's the different fabric repairs, which are endless. There's 250 to 300 rooms. So something's always going wrong. And when you think you're just mending a ceiling, which I was doing. I thought the ceiling needed mending, which was fine. And to my delight, on the top floor, the rafters above it were perfect. They were fine, amazingly, because they're not Hallelujah. Always. And then I looked down and the floor was fine too. So I thought, whoa, this is good.
Progress.
But no, because then the plaster fell off one of the walls. Yeah. So it was the walls.
Oh, wow.
So I've then got a huge extractor fan going out, because otherwise the fire alarms go off because the plaster is so dusty. So you never quite win. Actually, it is quite funny. But then I've found a wallpaper for another room, which I have one on because it's not very expensive and it's really lovely. So I thought this morning it's a yes.
And how did Downton Abbey come about? How did that conversation first start? And were you met with any resistance from external circles?
No, there was no external. It was our decision. But in the 3, 4, 5. It was quite a busy corporate time in this country. It was quite successful with a lot of big companies spending money, welcoming people. Then you have the Iran-Iraq war and everything went the other way. Corporate businesses dropped off a ledge. You had the Lehman crisis. So that all, those external factors then have this disruptive trickle-down effect on all of us living in this country.
So you were open to the public at that point?
We were open since 1988, but for 40 days a year. Then George and I do 60 days a year. But we had corporate business, we had big weddings. Katie Price got married.
Oh, did she really?
Oh, actually, you're right.
So, yes, there was a lot of other things going on.
This is pre-Downton.
Yeah. Busy.
Were you managing to wash its face then, financially?
I don't actually ever think of it like that, because you never completely, washing your face? I don't know. There's always something else to do. And I don't think I'm not also about, funnily enough, making money. I'm about creating experiences and making people happy, but I need enough cash coming in to match cash going out. So there's the cash base, which I think is important. I don't like borrowing money particularly. And then after that, that's reckoning where you start. So Geordie and I had started on the roof, of one section of the roof in 2003. We did another section of roof between 2005 and 2007, and then another section of roof after that. So we worked our way around it.
In
the meantime, my soft marketing was the fact that because my parents-in-law never lived there, it was more of a museum. There were no lampshades, not many rugs. And because my own parents had died very young, and I'm one of six girls, for me, being together as a family, as a home, having spaghetti bolognese and a glass of red wine was the most important thing, probably remains that in my entire life. So it meant that I thought, well, let's just try it for Christmas. There were such hilarities, everything went wrong. But it was only my sisters, and we just cried with laughter because the water was going off and on at the wrong time. And, the electricity was spiking. Geordie blamed it on their hairdryers. whatever else.
Where were you and Geordie living at that time then?
We have a house next door, well, 10 yards away.
Okay.
So we're in and out the whole time. But my soft marketing, having begun that, was to welcome people to stay with me from time to time. Julian and Emma Fellows were friends, so they used to come and, you know, good wine, good food, good conversation.
I think also the reality of a house like that, a building like that, it requires heat because otherwise it will start falling apart pretty quickly in certain areas from damp, old wood, old infrastructure. The cost of that is astronomical.
Well, not really. There's always been heating and there's not a lot of heating.
How do you heat it?
Oh, it's wonderful oil. But there's only 14 radiators. So actually it's not, and there's none upstairs. So that's not what it's about, actually. Oh. There are some hot pipes, but it's about shattering it. It's about keeping it watertight.
Right.
And then I have some storage heaters which take the edge off it, which I now, as I'm rewiring some of the rooms higher up, I can put some storage heaters in there.
Where did you start in life? What did you study at school?
I've read all my life, history, English, poetry, and then I studied English and German, and then I studied Mittelhochdeutsch and Anglo-Saxon English.
Can you speak German?
Yeah.
You can speak German?
Well, I used to. I used to speak French. I learned Latin from the age of four. I like languages. I taught myself hieroglyphics.
I learned Latin too. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I did not. I really did. I like languages, so it's just I like playing with words. So I've taught myself a lot of hieroglyphics now and written much of the Egyptian exhibition, written books on it, I can write a plasmon in hieroglyphics.
So did you go to university?
Yeah.
You did. And did you go to finishing school?
No, I just did St Andrews University.
Did you?
For English and German. And then having left that, where I'd parted and I really got a very good degree in partying, which is great for now, through some fantastic parties and continue, I hope so to do, I then trained as a chartered accountant.
Whatever way you dress it up, you and your husband have managed to turn the fortunes around of that.
It's one of the most famous homes in the world.
I was going to say one of the most iconic famous homes in the world.
I'm being modest.
Do you see yourself as a bit of an entrepreneur?
I think we're both entrepreneurs and we both try in different directions. The main thing is I have a lot of bright ideas, but I ask everyone to edit me before we...
Every entrepreneur.
So that is really important as I wake up. And sometimes it's quite hard because my head blooming starts spinning and I find that so tiring.
Of course.
And it's quite hard to switch it off. By various baths, I've got Sweets Anglo-Saxon Reader and Dictionary, which is quite relaxing because I then study the origins of our words and forget my silly bright ideas for a bit.
Brilliant. Can I ask, were your parents entrepreneurs?
Well, my mother was looking after six children and not particularly. And, you know, we had Nanny and Queenie and goodness knows what, and had a very fortunate upbringing. And my pa wanted to be a diplomat, but his grandparents had managed to lose all and spend all their money.
As
so he ended up becoming a chartered accountant, actually.
Wow. And were the six children, I'm just going to be quite blunt here, because I know in my family I've got four girls, and my father was just trying for a boy to be, you know, sort of an heir of something. Was that why, the six girls?
No, I think my father would have been quite happy with two girls.
Would he? Oh, lovely. Oh, that's lovely. And what is your ancestry? Are you pure English? Are you English?
English and Scottish, and I think we all come from all over.
What age did you lose your parents?
I was 28 and my number six sister was 12.
Oh, wow. God, that's horrendous.
So it was quite tricky.
So did you end up becoming the mother to your 12-year-old?
Our mum was still alive and then they both died of cancer at different stages, 4 years apart. So it wasn't great. And
have you ever had therapy for that? We ask everyone because it's amazing how many people that we've got in the chair have had therapy, which is today's world is insane.
No.
Especially entrepreneurs.
Yeah, pretty much 90%.
You're about the only one that's sat in that chair that hasn't.
No.
I do Instagram for the castle and, for example, on a Good Friday post, part of that is me. And that's coming out. It's the sense of peace that you get sometimes from sitting in a church.
Mm.
Not that I go to church every Sunday, but I think in today's world, it's helpful to remember that Jesus Christ came for peace, to create peace, and died to atone for our sins for peace again. So yeah. I think some of the stories and some of the culture they create are helpful to life.
I mean, you have become known yourself, and so has your husband.
As an icon.
Hugely, hugely known. You're knocking on a million followers.
Well, I mean, that's, not quite, thank you.
But well, I was just being polite. Well, you're 850, aren't you?
850. No,
833. Oh, right, wow. Okay. You're just like us looking at it every day. But you've had to adapt to that world, haven't you?
I think it's exciting. And actually much of that came out of COVID.
Yeah. But so you don't find that a pain doing all of that then?
I think that's the wrong way to look at it. Yeah. Again, that's not going to help. I think some people think, well, I must post on Instagram every day. Well, that's not helpful either. Mm. Why are you posting and what are you sharing or gaining from it? So I think it's the wrong attitude. It's about engagement. It's about how you're persuading them that they should come to Highclere. And I'm not actually really selling tickets. I'm selling an experience to come to walk across the grass and look up at the trees, to wander, to leave your cares at the door and drive into the parkland.
Do you get a lot of do you get a lot of Americans coming over?
Yes, Chinese? I mean, I think Americans are particularly strong in June, September and October. Quite a lot come for Christmas. Easter and April is quite a British month. I'm looking for a global market because in this country we have very little money.
Yeah.
So it's a really tough world.
100%.
And how did Downton Abbey come about?
Firstly, Julian and Emma have stayed with us many times. And it's strategic. Firstly,
I knew them first.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So they used to come and stay. And as I was
Julian Fellowes being the
creator
and writer of Downton Abbey.
So Julian, he'd written Gosford Park and won an Oscar for it. He'd thought about bringing that to Highclere, but didn't come. And with Downton Abbey, we were the first location they looked at. Then they went round and saw 400 other locations.
Did they?
But, you know, it would be lovely to win it, but I wasn't that desperate because I didn't know anybody would watch it. But I was obviously keen to win the business. And before Christmas of the year before they started filming, so it's Christmas 2009, I'd sent an email to Gareth, Julian's co-producer, and fantastic man behind Carnival Films, and said, you know, you may well have found some other wonderful locations in which to, film your new series. But before we committed to our forthcoming weddings and other events, I just needed to ask you for our diary.
Yeah.
So I just remember the email. It took me a long time to write.
Yeah, of course.
To then come down to three lines.
Yep.
And I never want to be presumptive or patronising or anything like that. So some of the shortest emails. And I thought, well, I need to know because, you know, we had a successful wedding business and corporate business. And anyway, he then came back and said, no, we'd like to come to you.
Oh, lovely.
Wow.
So it was amazing. But again, at that time, we didn't know. And I remember the producer, Nigel Marchant, who's charming, came down in January to see us. And it had snowed. And Eddie, our son, was not very big, so I thought the school was closed. So we were busy sledging down the front line. And he came in a really smart car from London, of course, got stuck at the bottom. So I then called John Gunter, our council manager, to turn up with a Land Rover to pull him up the hill.
Yeah.
And Eddie and I could have a lift as well. Anyway, then obviously I went into the meeting and sledging was over for the moment.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. What was the first contract? Was that just one series or three series?
No, I think every contract any TV series is usually a minimum of 3 years with break clauses.
Okay.
And then it carries on or not.
I mean, nobody might have watched it. I mean, they might have done.
Yeah.
So how intrusive is that? I'm assuming it became even more and more and more intrusive as time went on.
I don't, again, think of it as an intrusive, Richard. I think when you're in business, there's a left and a right hand.
I get that. So what I mean by that, I think, Fiona, is how did that impact on your other businesses, the weddings?
You can't have them at the same time. So you make a decision about what you're going to do. And Downton don't actually pay us very much money. So, but it was a decision to try this out as part of the castle's role, if you like, and to see where that took us.
How much of the show is actually filmed in Downton?
A lot.
In Highclere.
It'd arrive in February and be on and off with us in July.
Really? So even the bedroom scenes? And
all the bedroom scenes were filmed.
Oh, see, that's lovely.
Were they?
Wow. And then
after a while, they wanted to put cameras down from the top of the bed, which on an 18th century four-poster,
never going
to
happen.
So they ended up, they had one four-poster bed, and they had some, you know, corner sets in Ealing Studios where Mrs. Patmore's scenes were filmed. And they used to do it there, which I don't mind. I'm not, you know, it's whatever works for them. But they can't replicate our house, and they can't replicate the setting.
No, of course they can't.
Can I ask, where did you meet your husband?
Oh, at a dinner neither of us wanted to go to.
Lovely.
His father was supposed to go and not him. And it was a friend of my ma's who was being either appointed or disappointed, I can't remember, from a role. And we sat next door to each other. But, you know, you don't necessarily think. Funnily enough, some of my greatest friends lived 6 miles from Highclere. He knew them as well. And we could have met any time or for 20 years beforehand.
And what was it about him, that this particular individual, that made you think, yes, I actually really like him?
I thought we both had we had a lovely supper together, and my pa had died and I had lots of little sisters. So it was a difficult time of my life. He had been divorced for a couple of years. He'd had a very difficult time. He had tiny children who were 3 and 4, and they'd divorced 2 years earlier. So his life was upside down and probably quite sleepless as well as trying to do everything.
Definitely.
Anyway, he then later on, I think he sent me, we were talking about First World War poetry, which I adore. I think it's an extraordinary body of poetry. Wilfred Owen and Sassoon and Rosenberg. And for some reason, he sent me a little book of First World War poetry.
Wow.
And I'd written to thank him, and then we played tennis with some other friends and things like that. And so it sort of slowly unfolds, if you like.
But when you realised when you met him, you didn't know exactly at that
Never heard of what he had. His father was alive and everything.
Yes, but I mean, what did you think when you suddenly drive out to someone like that? You think, what on earth am I getting into?
Well, I didn't, because I didn't ask him to marry him. And I'd been fortunate enough to visit and stay with other friends in other castles and houses.
Yeah.
Either in Scotland, where you just knew to take bed socks. Well, actually, every house you take bed socks.
Yeah. Freezing.
And just wear jumpers in bed and it's fine. So I didn't really think about it. You don't think in anticipation. So, you just go with the flow.
And how did he propose to you?
Well, that was a little bit later, obviously. So that was probably 2 years later. No. So he, when I asked him for time to think about it.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, it's a lot to take on. Yeah.
It wasn't that. It was just, he had 2 small children.
Right.
And I had all my sisters. And my mother was still alive just then. And she died 6 months after our marriage, I think, wedding. So it was just, I'm just trying to think around the whole thing. So, because I think marriage is about love and you adore the person. It's also about friendship. It's also about a partnership. It's also about not taking it for granted, working every day. Marriages require compromise.
Yeah.
And hard work. So maybe I shouldn't have. I waited for a second, but anyway, he obviously waited for me to say.
Bless him.
Yes.
Yeah, good for you.
Wanted to get in a little bit into the business side. How many staff do you have there? And I expect you're going to say, I can't.
No, we employ about 60 people.
I thought it might be more than that.
No, well, there's another extra 100 part-time in the summer. Okay. So there's 2 housekeepers. There's quite a big kitchen staff because in the summer we're cooking for 1,200 people a day.
Oh, wow.
So there's 60 to 64
how
days.
How does that work?
3 cafes.
Okay.
So they arrive, they've got tickets, and there's croissant, pain au chocolat.
Right.
And then there's a selection of food at lunches, hot and cold.
Are there different kinds of tickets that you can buy?
Well, the general admission ones are Castle and Gardens, Castle and Gardens an exhibition, and there's cafes on site. I pre-sell picnic afternoon tea boxes, and I pre-sell seated afternoon tea for August. I have guided tours in June. I have guided tours in September, October. I have a whole Christmas run of six different events from the 19th of November to the 19th of December. I have wintertime tours, student commune tours. I bring down some of the costumes. I've always got a new idea of what I think might interest
people. Do you have any of the relics from Tutankhamun in the castle?
Not Tutankhamun. I have a whole Egyptian exhibition running around the cellars. And
have you been to Cairo, to their museum?
There? Not to the new one.
I've been. Oh, my God, it's incredible. They have the full Tutankhamun tomb.
They do. I've obviously been to the tomb and I've written about it. And I've written a book called The Earl and Pharaoh about it. And I do tours.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Do you believe there's some kind of curse to do with that?
Well, do you know what? I just don't want to disturb the dead or disturb any pathway through to the next life. We have enough problems on this earth without adding to it. So I'm just going to tread carefully and be sensible.
If your best friend or your husband was to describe you, how would they describe you?
I don't know. I suppose I hope kind. I think there's nothing more important. I definitely work hard.
Yeah. But you're obviously very smart as well. You're very astute.
I think you won't I adore say that. My sister.
You're obviously very astute. Dog. Roz built a company with her ex-husband. I built a company with Helen. You've built this with your husband. What are your different strengths, do you think, in business?
Well, I think although I'm the accountant, George is brilliant with numbers.
Is he?
And he's always looking out for where we are now and knows exactly where we might be in order to find the heffalump trumps ahead.
I'm going to use that. The heffalumps. I
work more on the marketing side and the human engagement side, which is the softer side, I suppose. I tend to create the events and work with the computer team, and then I spread it out from there. I'm trying to instill more protocols and processes we grow as a business, because we've got allied business from the gin to Friends of Highclere to the books that I write to the other endeavours.
Tell me about the books you write.
Well, because when Downton started and they were so successful, Richard, I thought, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? So I thought, well, the best thing to do is probably to try and write a book. So Peter Fincham, who was CEO of ITV, was a really nice man.
I've met him.
He'd come down and stayed. I always try and ask everyone to come, to stay, to eat, to dine, to drink, whatever makes them happy, to go for a walk. Because I just think friendship and relationships are what's so important. Anyway, he wanted me to do some work with him on Countrywise at Highclere. But he said there was no money in it for us. So I said, OK, will you introduce me in return for a publisher if we help you for no money and I do all your research for free? So he said yes. So he sent down four publishers. I knew I wanted to write a book about Almina, who had turned Highclere into a hospital World War One. And what she did was extraordinary. And whilst her husband was the Tutankhamun Earl, I thought I had the chance, because Downton Abbey was focused more on the women, to start writing about a woman, an extraordinary little lady. So they arrived and they said, one of the four publishers sent me a bunch of flowers. So I said, that's lovely. I'll have you. Please, can I come with you? And they said they wanted 72,000 words. This was in end of March.
Oh, how many pages is that?
I don't know. 72,000 words by July.
It wasn't fiction. It was a biography on Almina.
It was a sort of historical, fictional story. And 72,000 words in 3 or 4 months was quite tough.
But that's great. You've got a deadline.
But I did it.
Well, how well did that do?
It was 60 weeks in the New York Times bestsellers list.
No,
really? Went into 30 different countries, and it's still selling now.
Oh, wow.
She was so amazing.
Was she? I was reading, well, you don't know about ChatGPT, I was reading all about her last night, actually. What an interesting character she was.
Well, I don't know what they said. It's probably not necessarily all true, but she was amazing, and I started.
Well, it says you're pretty wonderful.
No. I started with that particular book on the steps of St. Margaret's Westminster in June 1895, thinking with this 19-year-old bride stepping into this church and a new role. And but the heart of it was World War One and the 400 or 500 letters which were in the, are in the archives.
Back in the day of Almina, were these families just rich enough to keep these places going?
Well, only if you married it around it.
Yes, but they were living in them. There wasn't open to the public. That was not even thought of, or was it, back in the day?
Well, no, if you think, I think you need to go far further back than them. Because, you know, from, I don't know, medieval times, land and ownership of property gave you revenues from agriculture.
Yeah.
So in the 18th century, for example, we all needed to eat, which we seem to think we don't necessarily need to do today, although we've never been quite so fat. So, me specifically, but so agricultural income was sufficient to support you and farming and the families living around. So it was a rural-based economy.
Right.
On top of that, you might have owned some industry from tile making to coal or in the Victorian era, industrialization era. But then one of the most important times in relation to these houses was the repeal of the Corn Laws by Robert Peel in the 1840s, which was letting down the market to free trade. And America had finished their Civil War in 1866. You've got the Dominion of Canada created in 1867, and wheat began to flow across the Atlantic from those two countries. So thus, the agricultural revenues for the first time in millennia began to fall, to fail, to decrease. So therefore, you've got less revenue coming in to pay the people who are working there and to support the families.
But you could argue, I mean, when these houses were built, I mean, how could anybody need a house with 300 rooms?
Well, there were 60 indoor staff. No hoovers, no washing machines, 14 footmen, no telephones, all room boy, three butlers. Highclere was on a scale which, effectively demarcated by the status of the family, and they had quite a lot of land then. So it was slightly different. You built the house according to your means. And you also, I find it fascinating, because there's been a house on that site for 1,200 years. It's just changed shape. It's been reformed, recycled, transformed. And the third Earl of Carnarvon was the one who commissioned Sir Charles Barry of the House of Parliament to clad the Georgian house, Mary Jane Austen, very nice, and create the house today. So he didn't have to do that. You know, the Georgian house was perfectly fine, but he did. So I often wonder, turn around in my head, what was his vision? What was his passion? He travelled through Italy and Greece, and he wanted the towers, and he wanted to reach towards the skies. Perhaps that's what we're always trying to do, reach the skies, or now travel to the moon. But he did do that, so he didn't have to. But the legacy is this extraordinary heritage. And I think that visible heritage is worthwhile conserving, looking after, and curating over my lifetime.
Do you have children between you?
One. Yeah, we have a son.
You have one son. So who's going to take that on? Who's going to take
I think later on it's a big enough, it will be a sufficiently big business.
For all of them.
Beyond one person.
100%.
Because I think I'm working a lot of hours.
Yes.
So it would be more than me. And I enjoy it. And the experience I have now is definitely invaluable, because you're looking at your heffalump traps or pitfalls and you manage to avoid some of them because you've spotted them in the past, whereas younger people don't always listen and they're going to fall down that heffalump trap and you can say, told you so.
But I mean, the other thing is, the story of Downton won't necessarily live on forever, will it? That's quite a big responsibility to leave your children, isn't it, to carry that on.
But I think everything changes a little bit, and the marketing from Downton has been really useful, propelling us forward. I think, you know, Blenheim Palace is a huge Versailles, and again,
that's true.
They again will carry forward. Versailles is the same. You have marketing initiatives which come and go, but it's again being true to the heritage and being true to the anchor and point of reassurance that I think these great houses offer people. So they may offer people slightly different things in different times, but I suspect we'll all be watching streaming programs or whatever else programs, and other things will come. So I can't worry about it.
No, and it's pointless.
Fair
but
enough.
Have any of the children come forward and said, I would love to take it on?
They're far too young. We wouldn't ask them to.
Oh, really?
This is Geordie's and my... We're quite focused on the
path. Yeah, and you're
still young. And we're working together. You know, I always try and share what we're trying to do. Some of our contracts also have NDAs.
I'm sure.
So there's stuff like that going on as well.
And how many days off do you take a year?
No idea.
Do you have Christmas Day there, in there, just so you as a family?
Every other year.
Why every other year?
Because it's half a mile from the kitchens to where we eat. So I cannot run the house. Oh. Well, it's not half a mile, but it's a long way. So in order to eat breakfast, I couldn't cook my husband an egg. I had to take your own bloody egg, you know, because it's too far. So in order to make it work, to set the table, it's a house which needs help. So I need the help of the kitchens and Louis and his banqueting team. So we do that every other year. So everyone has got time off. And when they have time off, then they've got the time off from the 19th of December until the 4th of January, so they can all go and have time out with their family. So I just always want to make sure they can also, you know, book to go to South Africa, wherever they want to go, 2 years ahead, knowing that I'll always keep my end of the deal. And I won't take business in that.
Secret passages, tunnels.
Yeah, no, I think so. I haven't found them all, probably. I've got a few to look, but...
How many have you got? How many have you found?
Well, I found different staircases I didn't know existed. You know, you
find
it.
When did you find them up? When was the most recent one you found?
I think there's a funny gap in a wall, but it's actually just led up to some inner guttering work. I've written a book called A Year at Highclere, which is my latest book. And in that one, it talks about decorating a castle, actually when the late Queen Elizabeth came to stay, which allowed me to talk about the staircase that I found. And I was in the courtyard, which is right behind the castle, going along through some rooms. And I thought, well, that's a wardrobe. If that wardrobe weren't there, this room would be much bigger. So I went to open the wardrobe, and in the back of the wardrobe found a door, and then went through the door to find a room.
Yeah.
And then I found a staircase,
right,
which was blocked up on the inside. Wow. And so I never knew it existed.
What is the most successful part of the business?
When we have general admission, that's a good part of our business. It's also the toughest part of the business for all the people who work with me. So at the end of it, it's always a bit of a relief because the kitchens are working 6-7 day weeks. We're open Sunday to Thursday, but they are working on the Saturday to prepare for the Sunday, and they just have Friday off.
Is it always full when you open?
Well, I'd be failing my marketing if I didn't sell out.
Well, that's incredible.
But I work very hard at it.
I know you do.
You know, you work hard. And also because I think people want to plan ahead and something to look forward to. Mm-hmm. And some of my tours are guided, small and special. So I think it's about treating yourself. I don't think we need any more jeans or jackets. We do need to go somewhere with a girlfriend or a member of the family and with old friends and make new friends and the experience of it and live each day. So I think that's what, to me, the music of life is.
How do you find when you're there? I mean, people spot you. It must be a nightmare for you.
I mean, I don't think of it like that.
I know
either.
You don't think of it like that, but I mean that in a metaphoric way.
Well, I do normally brush my hair.
Do you like meeting all those people? Does it get
I'm sure
you're trying to walk from one place to another, and
that's more interesting. So sometimes my progress is slow, and instead of getting my own coffee, if I'm on my office and trying to do stuff, I'll ask someone else to get me a cup of coffee, because otherwise it'll be half an hour before I'm back again.
Yeah, of course.
Or they will say, I want to sit down with you, so go get us some coffee. So it's kind of fun. But equally, I think for Jordy and I, we need to thank people for taking the time out to come.
Sure.
And you get a view of it. So it's. I think you need to embrace it or you're in the wrong business.
I know you won't like me using this word. I know you won't. But do you slightly enjoy that celebrity side?
Definitely not.
You don't enjoy
it? I'm not
it.
A celebrity.
I knew you were going to say that.
Definitely
but
not.
But for want of a better... All right, being well-known.
I don't think I'm well-known either.
Of course you are. Of course you are.
I don't think of it like that either.
Can I change the subject?
Yes, please do.
The naughty Earl. Why was he naughty?
Well, he married Geordie's... That's the book, Lady Catherine, The Real Downton Abbey. I so enjoyed it. The lucky thing for me was I had... some living family members still alive then. So it went from 23 to 45. His life long exceeded that, and he only died in 87, after which my pa-in-law and Geordie opened the castle to the public. So before that, he was married to Geordie's grandmother, Catherine, beautiful lady, kind lady. But he enjoyed the company of various women and life.
Okay.
So he was all about me, darling.
Right, okay, okay.
And really fun to sit next door to. And
but not
a lot
fun
of
to be
fun,
married to.
But quite challenged to be married to. And he then remarried on the outbreak of World War II. And she decided we were going to lose. She was a celebrity. And she went to America, given half a chance. And he was then obviously interviewing other girlfriends and wanted to divorce her, which took 12 years. Yeah. So, which didn't make him very, oh my God, there's such great stories there, which I have relayed some of.
It would be remiss of me if I didn't ask you about some of the actors and actresses on Downton. Mm. Who was your favourite?
I always have to say the castle was my favourite actor, naturally.
But, I thought you mean I've asked you a question you haven't been asked before.
Amazing, isn't it? But I think it was a huge honour to have Maggie Smith.
Yes. What, how did you find her?
She was a real professional. And having said that, if you were the agent, you hadn't properly prepared things, she would tell you about that. I've got some very funny stories again in the book, which take too long to recount. But she was the other person who
Let's
was
just give
amazing.
A plug to the book. What's the book?
The book is A Year at Highcliffe.
A year in Highcliffe.
And A Year at Highcliffe, and the third chapter is about living with a film crew and some of the hilarious stories, because I think sense of humour is really important.
It's the highest form of intelligence,
it is.
I think.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's very important. And Mary Berry was an extraordinary, not part of the crew, but she also came. We did a programme with her, and most people's favourite person.
Really?
She was just lovely. Other than that, you know, I mean, it was long old days of filming.
I know who my favourite was. It was Lady. It was Lady Mary. I loved her. Oh, I thought she was absolutely gorgeous.
A lot of people loved her, which was great. And then quite a few people loved Lady Sybil.
Yes.
And a lot of ladies loved Matthew Crawley.
Oh, yes.
But I think what was so nice was how, you know, I was different people came forward at different times.
Yes.
And I think from having watched so much of Downton being filmed, when I write, I think I write in scenes.
Yes.
And I think of my writing like an orchestra, and I'm bringing somebody forward in my books as the lead violinist, and then I've got somebody else in like a Rachmaninoff coming forward as the flautist or the oboist. So you can just bring people forward and back, and I think I'm conscious that, you know, that was one of the success of Downton. We were all completely fixated about what was going to happen to Bates.
When it actually came out, was it much better than you thought it was going to be?
No, it was just really odd.
Was it?
Because I was sitting there seeing the outside of the blooming castle on the TV screen. So it was so surreal. Then after a while, you get used to
yes.
it. But to start with, it is really odd.
I'm sure.
You also remember the scene being filmed.
Absolutely.
And you think back to it. And you think, did they really do that? It has been an extraordinary time. But I hope Highclere continues to have an extraordinary life and to share it with as many people as possible, yeah. whether it's visiting for real or through all the streaming that I do or through Instagram.
I'm sure you will continue to do that. Now,
thank you. Last question. You've been very naughty and unfortunately you're in jail and you are on death row. What is your last meal?
Fish and chips.
Oh, lovely.
I love that. Thank you very, very much for coming today. We really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you, Lady Carnarvon.
Can you do us a favour? Can you hit that follow and subscribe button? You can find us anywhere where you get your podcasts on Entrepreneurs Worldwide. And there'll be a new episode every Wednesday at 5 a.m.